This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. A lot of boards were played over the weekend, Barry.
Tell me about it. I'm just about asleep here. I need to be in bed soon.
Shut up. It's only early.
Indeed. We had a nice cruisy Friday night because we just played 12 boards and we had our bye. There was a bit of excitement, though. I think it was Friday night. We were sitting here playing bridge and the next thing you know, there's a big bang outside and Rosa the dog started barking.
Oh my gosh.
We're partway through some board at some end against Canterbury or whoever we were playing. Took a break, went and had a look, couldn't see anything. And anyway, went back to our game and the next thing there's a knock at the door. And it's this young guy from down the road and he said, oh, I've taken out your concrete post and your gate. Hit him with my ute. So I went and had a look and he'd taken out a great big concrete post, chopped it in half and he'd gone all the way along the side. I don't know what his ute looked like. I still haven't seen it. So that was a bit of an interruption to the match. Somehow he managed to drive his ute home. I don't know how, but it was only 300 metres down the road, so I suppose it wasn't far, but you always get a bit of excitement in online bridge. You never know what's going to happen.
Did you breathalyze it?
We both played bridge over the weekend. You played in the CD...
3A Swiss Pairs.
Restricted Open Swiss, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I got another A point.
I tell you what, I did get a chance between matches to look at your results at some stage, and you were actually leading when I looked sometime in the afternoon.
Well, I don't remember leading, but we were in the top three and then...
You were leading, I think it was partway through the match and they do update the scores during the match.
Yep.
And you must have been leading that match and at that point you were actually in front. There
awesome.
You go.
Yeah, that was
It's always hard to hang on to these things.
Yes, it was. I managed to get an A point and that has to be some sort of record for me. Three A points, consecutive weekends. I was quite happy.
You're starting to feel like the female Jack James of the bridge world.
Oh, my God. 9 weeks in a row. And he actually dropped us an email to say, yes, 9 weeks in a row, 12 tournaments that he had won. So, folks, I actually got to my AI friend and I've got this picture with Jack and we're going to show it this week. Jack is looking into his diary to see when he is free to come on.
A bit of information too about Mike Weir, who of course won the pairs and the teams last weekend. I thought it's quite interesting to note that Michael, who has been known for a long, long time as the pairs fiend, if you like, in New Zealand Bridge, and he apparently hasn't won a pairs tournament since Easter 2024.
Wow, that was a question that we asked. Hey.
But he's won 11 teams events.
Well done.
Sounds like he's changed from a pairs player to a teams player. He did get the pairs last weekend. Well done to Mike.
So let's get back to your bridge. Played a lot of boards. How did the trials go? Now, we're only going to do open, seniors, women, because Mr. Jin's going to be doing the update on intermediate.
These aren't really trials. These are the...
quarterfinal playoffs or something.
Yeah, they're just the playoffs, really, to see which two teams get to go through to the finals in Palmy in November. The open team was a three-way battle most of the event with Auckland, Wellington and Central Districts. Central Districts fade a little bit towards the end, so Auckland and Wellington that came out on top.
Yeah.
And the woman that was Waikato Bay's, Wahoo, no bias here, and Otago South. I don't know how many times those two teams have faced off. It must be quite often. The seniors was nowhere near as obvious. Once again, it was a three-way battle the whole time between Otago, Auckland and Waikato Bays. Waikato Bays had a big loss to Auckland in the last round. So Otago finished on top from Auckland.
Okay. And we'll look forward to Mr. Jin and his commentary on the intermediates.
Interesting, the standings in the Dougal McLean at the moment. Obviously, is not final because... those finals will be played. But at the moment, Otago are leading on 35. Waikato Bays are coming second, which is the best they've ever done. I don't think we've ever come second, and we've certainly never won it.
So how many points do we have?
We're on 31, so we can't realistically catch Otago, even if they lose both finals, I don't think. We do need our woman to win the women's division to get second. Auckland Canterbury tied for third on 29, just 2 points behind. So it's all a bit tense. But at the moment, we're second, and we will be for the next 5 months until the final.
It's Judge Julie next.
Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session. Now here come the judge. Here come.
Good morning, Judge Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everyone's fit and healthy. Congratulations to the various regions that played in the weekend and are going to Congress.
You didn't mention the Auckland seniors, Mariana, which included the judge and the bailiff.
Nice.
I think every region's got a team in the finals, hasn't it?
Yes, I think you're right. Which is excellent.
It's very good.
I've got a question before we start. Barry said that there was a lot of boards. So what was your opinion of that?
Yeah, there were. We qualified top after the first round. For that, we had to play six matches in a row on Sunday. It was pretty grueling, but we didn't help ourselves, unfortunately. We have a session on Friday afternoon, which was teams, which was good for our practice. But unfortunately, a few things went wrong with the dealing of the cards, and it turned into a bit of a nightmare for Patrick. As Jenny would be happy about, we didn't use up any luck at all.
Usually Jenny's go-to comment when something goes badly. Use up any luck. Good.
So she's right, actually. In a lot of cases, when things go bad pre-event, strangely enough, it seems to be that you do well. I don't know. So we had an extra session before the end as well, which possibly contributed to the...
We had our bye on the Friday night, so we played six matches in a row on Saturday. That was quite tough, actually.
I know that there's time issues, but I really do think that you don't normally play... How many boards?
72.
Yeah, I mean, we played 2 in the morning and then we played 5 in the afternoon. And the previous day, you had a half-hour break with the redraw. I mean, playing 60 boards in a row. Now, we finished early, so we did get breaks. But if you're finishing with only 5 to 10 minutes to spare, that is really, really hard.
Yes.
Actually, I didn't realise, apparently you were allowed to have a third pair. Waikato Bays didn't, but I think it would have been a good idea to have a third pair.
Yeah, we didn't either. I was considering that. In all fairness, we only played 5 sets in a row on any day, so... Yeah, 5-12. So we played 60 boards without really having a break.
So I think having a third pairs would be excellent and easy enough to do and obviously inexpensive because it's all online. If you have a third pair available, it would have been a good idea. I think a couple of provinces may have done that. Hardly anybody seemed to have three pairs.
We had 2 in the seniors.
Okay, on to the question at hand. So we had an email in and... Is inadvertency still the name of it, or has it changed? I'm not too sure. It's when somebody bids something that they didn't mean to, and it was clear they didn't mean to. So you've got a couple of questions here, Julie. Law 25.
Yeah, it's unintended call. It's an interesting one. It's the same as inadvertent. Years ago, when I was at the Christchurch Club, the Laws Committee, Grass and Endicott, did a commentary on the laws when they came out for, I think, 1987 it might have been. It was a beautiful, beautiful book. And it had what was inadvertent at that time and has changed to unintended now. And the description he gave, which I've always thought was a really, really good phrasing of it, is that it is a disconnect between your brain and your hand or your mouth, depending on whether you've got spoken bidding, written bidding or whatever. So a mistake is not an unintended call. You might have decided you didn't want to make the bid that you made, but when you made it, you intended to make it. It has nothing to do with a pencil on paper, nothing to do with pause for breath. You want to bid one spade and you look down and find out that you've written one heart or one diamond. And it is horrifying. And when I'm talking to people about when they're directing, one of the things that's clear normally at the table is the person, when they realise what bid they make, is horrified by the bid they make. Okay? Now, misclicking is something that happens online because you click on the bidding box with the bid next to it. And we have a bit of that with the bidding boxes and the bidding cards in the boxes. It is really clear that you did not intend to make the bid. That's why unintended is such a good description.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The first situation I got given is that the dealer opened, it went past, and the responder passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you cannot correct an unintended call once your partner has made a call. So if I open one heart and it goes past and you pass because you're away with the fairies, If the dealer made the wrong bid, they wouldn't get to change it. The responder passed, and then they called the director. Now, when you look at the hand, you will decide whether you think that it was unintended, the director will, unintended or intended, is a mistake. You need to look at the hand. A change of call isn't allowed through loss of concentration. That is a mistake. It is allowed because you never ever meant to do what appeared in front of you at that table. So, for example, if the responder had a 17 count, they'd be looking aghast about the fact they'd passed. You'd allow it. It would be really straightforward. But if they had a 6 count, you probably wouldn't, because they might have miscounted their hand. So for whatever reason, the director will look at the hand and they will see if it matches with the bid or whether it might match with what the bid was, whether it's a mistake or whether it's unintended.
I had one at the club just last Tuesday where the lady's partner had opened one diamond and she'd bid two diamonds and she called me to the table. She only had two diamonds. Like, I don't believe for a minute. It did sound like a disconnect between the brain and the hand for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the point, right? As I've said, in general, at the table, it is really clear that the person who made an unintended call really didn't intend to make it because they really do not look happy with themselves.
Okay.
Playing in Zone Sevens for the first time, and I had a 5-5 hand with spades and hearts, and I opened one heart. We had screens, and it came back, and it was at four hearts. And I was thinking the auction had gone one spade from me, four hearts, right? And I was saying, oh, gee, slam, partner's got a shortage in hearts. And then I looked down and saw, to my horror, that I'd opened one heart. Right.
It worked out surprisingly well for you by the sounds of
Oh, look, it worked out brilliantly. We gained a whole imp because we played a
it.
5-5 foot instead of a 5-3 foot. Right? So, but then you look down and you think, my God, what happened? You need to look at the hand. And for people that are playing directors, I'm sorry, you need to look at the hand. This is one situation where you can't really do anything but look at the hand to see whether that call was intended or unintended. And I want it to be really clear, you don't get it back because you made a bid that you shouldn't have made. You make bids you shouldn't make all the time. They're called mistakes. If Barry opens one no trump and I bid two hearts and I go, oh no, I meant to bid two diamonds. Well, I've got hearts in my hand. I made a mistake, right? That is not an unintended call. That is a mistake. Okay, so the next one we had was a player opened one heart and it went past. The player had a 4-3-3 hand with four clubs and a 10 count and they bid two clubs. And they called and said they wanted to change their call to two hearts. Well, we're not allowing that because they've got clubs. They meant to bid two clubs. They had a change of heart after they made the call, or they made a mistake of their playing five card majors. They did not make an unintended call. Okay. With 10 points and they bid their four card suit, why would that be unintended, right? There is no reason in the world to believe that they don't want to bid two clubs when they call you. And that is the other thing. When you make an unintended call, don't tell everyone at the table what you thought you might want to bid. Your partner's not allowed to know, right? All of a sudden, not only now do we have an unintended call, but we have a whole raft of unauthorized information being spread across the table, right? Not allowed. So when you make a bid that you never ever wanted to see arrive on the table in front of you, the first thing you do is call the director. If your partner has made a call in that time, you cannot get it changed. I'm sorry, you're out of luck. But if your opponent is called, you're still allowed to get it changed.
Actually, I have to say, whenever I've seen it happen, they tell everybody, oh my God, they all give unauthorized info.
It's an automatic reaction. And when it's truly unintended, they are truly horrified. This is out of nowhere. You are stunned by what's happened. But when you make a mistake, that is completely different. You might have second thoughts and go, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. That is not unintended. And that is really, really important.
I'd say, by the way, Mariana, Julie's pretty experienced at making a bid and then thinking, my God, I shouldn't have done that. So God believe her.
Look, you're in the middle of a relay sequence during the weekend where I told Patrick my hand wasn't balanced in the first bid that I made, right? So I told him I had a 4-4-3-2 or 4-3-3 hand. That's what I had, but I told him I didn't have that sort of hand. So then I had to make up which hand I thought was longest, what handshake I thought I had because he kept relaying. And then I'm thinking, please, please, don't let this be really important.
Now, what was the end result? Did you end up in a normal contract?
Yeah, we did. They've got no idea. The relief is huge.
The lesson for the listeners is there is it's okay to lie as long as it works out all right.
The thing about it is when you're playing a conventional system, and there are a lot of problems here, if you do something wrong and you realise, then you can sort of adapt your bidding to it because no one's asked. You know that you've made that mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
If at some point the opponents ask and you might have suddenly realised at that point, then you're a bit stuck about what you do next. If your opponents ask your partner, there's no way of proving that you knew you'd made a mistake. And this happens too with ace asking and things.
It'll be assumed that you didn't know what you'd
Yeah.
done.
So say you open one no trump and I go two clubs and you bid two diamonds and I bid three diamonds and your partner says partner's got five five in the majors when they alert it and you've got a big hand with diamonds, any bidding that goes from there, there's information that you're not allowed. Now you might know that partner can't have the hand. Some of this comes up like when people forget transfers. And it goes one no trump, two hearts, and your partner raises to three hearts. When you're playing transfers and you've bid two hearts to say to partner bid spades and partner bids three hearts, they've opened one no trump. They can't have a six card heart suit. So
Sure.
they can't have a proper three heart bid unless you've got some other stuff that you're playing. So if you know things from the auction, you are okay. But if you know things from the questions, you are not okay.
It's
Thank you
all.
so
I mean,
much.
thank you, Julie. Well done on the
Okay.
weekend.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Yeah. Congratulations. International team, they've set out some newsletters or bulletins, if that's what they want to call it. And congratulations to Liz Fisher from Hampton. She's on the international selectors panel. How cool
Yeah,
is
so
that?
the selectors are going to be Michael Cornell, Liz Fisher, Steph Jacob, Brad Johnston, and Tim Schumacher. They've got all these selectors because some of them will be likely putting their names down, I should say, for some of the categories. They must recuse themselves from any deliberations on a team that they've got their name down for.
Yeah,
So
that's right.
there's five of them, so there'll always be at least sort of three of them that will be available anyway. It'll be interesting to see how that works. And that looks quite good to me. Those people all play a lot of bridge and see what's going on around the traps, and it's quite good to have selectors that are really involved in the game in New Zealand.
Yeah. And then they have the international program for 26 to 27 just posted recently. It's set out very clearly.
Interesting because 2027, the international program includes the Asia Pacific Bridge Federation Championships as well as the World Bridge Championships being
Yeah.
held in 2027. But we have no idea where they're going to be held. You look on the WBF site or the APBF site, it's pretty clear they still don't know where they're going to be held at this stage, and it's only next year. So,
Well, that was one of my questions for you
yeah.
is where are they going to be?
What a great question that is. The answer is nobody knows. I can give you some unsubstantiated rumor. Shall we broadcast that on the bridge then?
Yeah, sure. What's your best bet?
Well, apparently a while ago there was something up saying that WBF Championship might be held in Barbados. That would be a pretty cool place to go, wouldn't it? That was up for a little while, and then there was something to say that it might be held in Croatia. If you go on there
That's
and
a
have a look
pretty
now,
place to go to. It's beautiful there.
I'm sure it is. So either of those would be pretty. When if you go in and have a look now, there's nothing. I'm not saying that's where it's going to be because nobody knows.
Whaiakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates, and novices. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow and left hand.
Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Mariana.
Good morning.
One of our favorite times of the week again.
Yeah, full of flattery.
Not much bridge for you last weekend, Ross.
No, it was actually quite nice to have a break, played online on Sunday night. Actually, I should have done a lot more than I did, but I kept going back to my screen to check on the interprovincial results every hour. It was a bit disrupted in terms of getting chores done around the place, for sure.
Geez, I thought you'd have been hard at it all weekend getting everything done.
Should have been.
We've talked about the other results, intermediate in the, they're called the regional championships now.
Yeah, it was an interesting race, a very, very good race, actually. And we play a little bit online with a couple of the guys from Top's team. I have never met any of the Canterbury team online, although I do know Kat Holmes, because she actually comes from East Coast Baysbury, you'll be pleased.
Of course.
Kat Holmes and Leo Hammond did wonderfully well. They were a top pair all day and clearly the best pair in the intermediate field. And they carried Canterbury through to the win. Although, going into the last round, Top of the South was ahead of Canterbury and they flicked it in the last round. And those two were alternating all day, really. And they basically stayed at the top and left the rest of the field behind them. Aidan Gunn and Stan were the principal players in the Top's team.
Can I just interrupt? I did notice that the surname Gunn, we've spoken about them before on the show, haven't we?
We have. Yes. I've mentioned Aidan when they actually won the regional trial.
Yes.
I mentioned Aidan and Stan. Stan is one of the elder intermediate players who was open before 2021, was it?
Okay.
Yeah, very, very steady player. And Aidan is a young guy. His mother was half of the other partnership in the
team.
That's right. And Aidan's a great guy. What I'm really excited about is that Aidan will now have to go to Palmerston North on the Friday. The rest of us intermediates up here are hoping that Aidan will stay on and play at least half of the Congress.
Oh,
that
yes.
will be really nice.
And I can catch up with them too, and we can talk about youth stuff.
That'll be really good.
Awesome.
Actually, it was a pretty tight tussle in the intermediate. I mean, Otago and Wellington were both not too far away, finishing up in third and fourth.
The top four teams were pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah, anybody could have got there. Like a couple of the divisions, it was a bit of a foregone conclusion who the top two were going to be, a long way out. But the intermediate was very interesting for just about the whole weekend.
I enjoyed watching it anyway, following along. You've talked about the other tournament on the weekend.
We did talk about the result of the restricted open online Swiss pairs.
Yep. The top intermediate pair were Jan Brown and Yvonne Hughes, both from Invercargill, and they were third overall in that tournament. So that was a really creditable result from Gin Club.
That was Nigella and Lois. Top intermediate, remember?
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay.
The top intermediate podiumed at third, they will drop to the next one.
Yes, you're right. Jan and Yvonne would have got third
place, yeah.
And therefore, the top intermediate out off the podium would have been the other two.
They come from Hamilton.
Of course.
Nigel Gresson and Lois Jones.
Also over the weekend, like sneaking a little tournament in down south, they had a one-session tournament, 11 tables they had, and that was at Kairangi. That was won by Kevin Robertson and Jonathan Caldwell from Victoria Bridge Club, my old club from back in the 70s. Second were Karen Shinoy and Renee Van Lerop. Both of them scored over 60%. They were both north-south, first and second. It was a one-session tournament. So that's obviously quite a good little formula for a novice tournament, one session. And I know the East Coast Bays have got a one-session novice tournament coming up next weekend, and that's booked out already, along with their intermediate tournament, which is booked out. That's very positive.
Of course, you will be at East Coast Bays, being the ambassador for the East Coast Bays Bridge Club that you are.
Oh, I'm ambassador for Warkworth as well.
Oh, we've got two
hits.
I just want to point out, Ross, that when Waikato Bays played Auckland in the Open over the weekend, we drew with them both times.
Both times. And they went on to win, didn't they? There's a lot of tournaments coming up in the next week, though, just for B-grade tournaments for intermediate and novice and junior players. You got Auckland Thursday pairs, Akaroa all grades. You got Hastings juniors. They got five tables there. Howick restricted is 16. Kerikeri Dolphins got 15 tables. Matamata junior and novice 14 tables. And Richmond all grades top the list. They got 18 tables in Richmond.
That's pretty good.
Taupo Swiss pairs, which some of the better gin players will play in, is completely booked out. It's a two-day tournament in Taupo.
Yes.
That would be a really nice one to play.
But Swiss pairs is a great format. If you're not going well, you drop down the field and hopefully you play somebody else that's not going well.
You can rejuvenate.
You can rejuvenate, and every match you're playing for something. So whereas if you're playing in a pairs event, Ross, as you know, you can plod around all day scoring 46% and you're never going to win the match, are you?
Well, you can plod around and get 52% all day and never even pick up a C point.
That's right. So the Swiss pair format, that's why a lot of people seem to like it. And as soon as you run a Swiss pairs of tournament, the entries seem to be queued up.
Yeah, you get a point two and an A point for every victory, and it's a nice steady bridge.
I've got a question to ask both of you. I was wondering if you had time to go over your system card, review the system card.
I have looked at it, Ross. You haven't got any further than that.
Hey, I think, Barry, we need to send our system card to Mariana for her to critique.
Oh, I don't know anything about
two. What do you think?
No. You should have a look at it.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Send it to me and I'll have it.
I don't know when she's going to find time because she's got less than she's got the bridge zone. She's flying out on Friday, so I don't know when she's going to do it.
And Wednesday is my New Zealand bridge day.
Take it on the plane. That's about it then, yeah. So next week there'll be heaps of results.
The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it.
And to end the show, Barry and I continue talking about the international program.
So anyway, it's all a bit confusing, isn't it? I see that Australia are sending teams to the Asia Cup, and I also read that they're being invited to send a second team to each of the categories. Give the Kiwis somebody to watch. For a start, they're probably all full of Kiwis anyway.
Now. Put your patriotic flag back in your back pocket.
Now, speaking of Kiwis in Australia, Adelaide are having the A-knot. At the moment, I don't know whether you noticed this, winners of the teams included a Kiwi.
Oh, was that the team that Leon was in?
Yeah, it was indeed. So Jane Beebe, Leon Mayer, Kate McDonald and Heath Watkins. They wouldn't have been favourites, I don't think. And when I say they wouldn't have been favourites, I know somebody that had money on them.
Oh.
But I better not say who it was. Somebody is pretty happy about that result. Yeah.
William Van Bakel, he's playing in Adelaide.
I mean, there's quite a lot of people playing in Adelaide, popular congress. They also had the Australian Blue Ribbon Pairs. I believe that the Pairs was won by Justin Williams and David Beecham.
Yes.
Kathy Chua and Jeff Travis came in second.
David's on a winning streak because he was playing with Julian and Jenna, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. They won in South Africa. Oh, he's won everything over the years. He's had a winning streak that's lasted for decades, I reckon.
That's cool. Alrighty, that's all we got for this week, folks. We shall catch you next week. See you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.